The best we can hope for is to be very good human beings, very successful human beings, and someday very dead human beings. We have no choice if we want to be one with God. We must learn how to live outside of time. Most students are never faced with this issue. But then, once we decide to face it, to see that what we are feeling represents the truth of being, to be one with the Father, one must be outside of time with the Father. And once we make our decision to face that issue, we find unexpected help. But help which is so surprising that we find ourselves in another problem. And these represent the rocks, the reefs, the obstacles that we have to wiggle through to get to the position where we can formalize our oneness with the Father. Now prepare for a few shocks, because we have to go through these hidden mines that can explode any minute in our face. We have to see that there is no past. The past is absolutely nothing. Every yesterday is gone. And all your aches and pains in yesterday are gone with it. You may think they're yours, that you have to live with them, but you're only living with a memory. Sometimes the memory will seem like a present memory. It'll go with you wherever you go. But it's still a memory. Every ache and pain that you ever felt is in the past. A woman wrote me that, how can we go to God when this pain hurts me? You're living in the past. And you're going to carry that into the future. And your memory is laying hold of an idea that repeats and repeats and repeats. And you drag this repetition into every day. There is no past. It's quite clear that God has no past. And you know, God has no future either. And neither of you, neither of I. There is no future at all. It's a myth. The past and the future are the parentheses that hold man in bondage to his so-called errors and to his so-called ambitions. When you experiment with past and future, you will see that they have no existence but in the human mind. If you had an ailment as a child and think that the ailment has carried on and left a scar on your present life, give it more thought and dwell in consciousness on the fact that the errors of the past are no more. Just as a moment of light will break the shackles of memory, so will a moment of truth reveal to you that there is no past in my being. There would be if I were a physical form living in this world. Then this physical image would have a physical past, and the past would be as illusory as the present. But after you've come to the point where you realize the illusion of the form, don't you see that what was in your so-called past would have to be an illusion about the form that is not? Do you realize that you have shed the past when you have shed the illusion? You'll dwell upon it, and you'll discover an unexpected freedom. You didn't live 1 minute before this minute. The future is a future of what? The form? The life in form? But it's illusory. You're building a future illusion. If you're down to the rock bottom truth of being, all that exists is this split second now. And in the split second now is the only time that you'll ever meet God face to face. Now, this information can be used effectively. If you will become a master of the truth that God is in the now, God has never been out of the now, God can't go backwards and forwards because there's no backwards and forwards to go to. There's only infinite now, always now. It will be infinite now, a million tomorrows from now, and a million tomorrows ago. God lives in the infinite now, and when you realize it, after working on it, dwelling upon it, abiding and waiting for the Christ to clarify, you'll see that the infinite now is the only place you can find perfection. You can face your entire past, and you can't go back 1 minute of it. You can't go back into the past. You physically can't. All you can do is think about the past. You can't step into the future. You can think about the future, but you can't live in it. You may think, I'll wait and I'll live in the future when it comes. But it won't be the future then, it'll be the now. You can't go anywhere beyond this split second. And all life comes down to this split second until you learn the infinite nature of a split second. And when you learn it, you're going to find the change in your life. You're going to find the power. You're going to find everything you ever thought was in heaven, on earth. Try it and see what I mean. You might find yourself without a body in 5 seconds. It's the way you're going to learn to step out of the body. I, 350 pounds of such and such a person, am standing here on the current belief in time. I'm in such a year, such a day, such an hour, and I'm under the impression that if I wait 24 hours, I'll be in another day, and another day, and another day. But it's a strange thing about time. I can't step beyond the second. As try as I might, I cannot step beyond the second. Neither can anyone else. That's a prison. You're being held prisoner in this second. You want to escape? Try going backwards. You can't step a half inch into the past. You're a prisoner in 1 second, or less. And you thought that we had freedom. This image is tied down to where it is. It has a life of seconds. Tick, tick, tick. And that's all it has. And think what you think you're doing in those seconds. But Christ is not tied down to the second. Christ is not tied down to the belief in time. Christ lives in the eternal now. Man lives in the passing now. You see the difference? In the passing now, you have the illusion of being free. In the eternal now, you can roam God's paradise. Now let's see how we would step out of time. You can't do it humanly. You're absolutely bound to the parenthesis. Parenthesis, parenthesis, and your life in the second between. Now you remember those two circles and the voice coming through. Dwell in the Spirit and see how the Spirit liberates you automatically from time. Your body doesn't have to move in it. You can leave your body right where you are. Your mind won't help. It cannot move into timelessness. Your mind you'll have to leave behind in a few years, 10, 20, 30, 40. No, it can't move anywhere. It's bound to the earth. Your spirit knows no boundaries. Your spirit is you. Your spirit can roam 1 million years ago or 1,000. It doesn't think of them as 1 million years or 1,000 because it's all now. There's no space to your spirit except infinite space. It's all here. When your spirit says here, it means here in the infinite, which is without boundary. It doesn't mean here in this 1 inch plot of ground. Here in the infinite, which is without limit, I live. It doesn't mean in this hour or this day. It means in the eternal, which is a normal thing. Now, in the eternal. Spirit lives in the eternal here, the eternal now, And that's the scope of your being. Now. And you're going to rise to the level where you know that and experience that unlimitation. Now your patient is stuck. He's riveted to the spot. He's riveted to the hour. It happened over here. He's got it over here. He'll have it over there. That's the sequence. In the now, in the unbounded space, in the unbounded time, he's perfect. He's imperfect because he's accepted that he is the individual bound in time, bound in space, with a physical body. He can't even move and get out of the body. He's stuck inside of it or in the illusion of it. He's got a physical body in time and a life in time, and in that time comes an ailment, and he's got that in time. And then when he disappears from time, he thinks, I am not here. I'm gone. My relative went out of time. Well, time doesn't even exist in God. We've got to learn to build our true life around the God who has the power. When Jesus stands before Pilate, thou couldst have no power over me. He didn't explain it. Thou couldst just have no power over me. Well, now here's Pilate, a body in time and space, with a beginning and an ending. He's trying to have power over infinity, over the here-ness of everywhere, over the nowness of eternity. He can't even begin to see this infinity which he's trying to have power over. And in human pride, and he makes the boast that I have the power to do such and such. He has no power. But what has that got to do with you if you can't emulate the Spirit who is demonstrating that Christ can't be contained in a minute or an hour or a day? In 3 days, the Christ appears after the beheading. Here I am. Well, we thought we killed you. Yes, I know. How did you think you would do that? Did you take a segment of time and cut it up? Or a segment of space? Did you think I was in a little space like that? I can't explain to you what infinity is or what eternity is. But the Son of God lives in infinity and eternity. Even Pilate, you are the Christ. Maybe by now, Pilate's a student of a movement somewhere where he's learning a little bit of truth. Everyone was told by that experience that here means everywhere, and time, hours that tick, are really not there, and all of time added up wouldn't make a second in eternity. But that's our natural habitat. It seems late that we are learning it. But we have discovered that the process of learning is very exciting. One experiments. Now, Jesus had no concept of time, and that is why his healings were instantaneous. Today, we think it'll take 4 days or 5 days to heal, or maybe a week, but we're still lingering in the concept of time. As that disappears, you'll find healings are instantaneous too. And when you're out of the body, you have no concept of time. That's why healings out of the body are quicker than when a person is lingering in the flesh. The other day, a girl was hypnotized by a group. They put what I call a curse on her. And she was so aware of this curse, and so fearful of the pain it might bring to others, that within herself she was petrified. Could hardly talk. And so she phoned her mother. She wanted her mother to send down the money, a certain amount. It's quite a large sum. Because if she didn't send down the money, it would be, the impression was that this girl would be in danger. The mother's a, one of the highest infinite way students, and she laughed at it. But it was still her daughter. So she couldn't laugh too hard. She had to be concerned. She tried not to be, but it occurred to her that maybe if she went down, she would talk to whoever, her daughter, or maybe even talk to these people. Anyway, she didn't go down, and we worked on it. The way I worked on it was to stay out of time. You see, that couldn't be happening in time, except in time. But out of time, spirit lives. In time, flesh lives. So we got out of the area of flesh, which is the hypnotism, into the area of no flesh, the spirit. And ultimately, the daughter came home, and then she could laugh at it for after a while. The point is that the conscious awareness of no time and no space broke what I think was the curse. I tell that to you as healers because you may be called upon to break the hypnosis of an individual, that someone is in danger and she has to be bribed to get the money down in a hurry and this and that. But it held that girl's consciousness in such a way that she couldn't get out of it. And you know, funny thing is that it's happened to some of us. We've all been in that fix. We all thought we were smart. Nothing could fool us. And then along it comes. When you find that you cannot break a case, let your thoughts run to the Spirit. And let the Spirit infiltrate so deeply that you've built a barricade against any possible error. If the solution is time, or timelessness, space or spacelessness, if it's any protection you need, the Spirit, which is omniscient, knows the direction to take, takes that direction, and liberates you. It doesn't matter what your problem. If that girl's problem was that some other problem, any other kind, Spirit would have had another solution for her. The important thing to you is to know that Spirit is never bound by any human power. No matter what the power is, it's not a power against the Spirit. And if you don't know the solution, it doesn't matter at all. Spirit does know the solution. You've got to know these truths, that Spirit meets the claim if you are in a position not to interfere. We are now looking at the straight and narrow. And it becomes straighter and more narrow than you can imagine. But the straightness and the narrowness is infinite, and it widens. It widens to allow all of infinite Spirit to function within its scope, so that whatever is needed by the person who is in a problem, or by the person helping the person, you will find coming to your rescue in the invisible. And that what is needed flows to this particular spot where there is a patient to do what must be done for that patient. No matter if the help is 5 million miles away, it can instantly appear in the Spirit. You must build your faith in the flexibility of Spirit to perform whatever is necessary, anything even beyond the human mind could conceive. Spirit will literally appear out of nowhere. We were given some glimpses of this in the Bible itself. We could not tell what Spirit was saying to us, but when Jesus appeared and they picked up stones to throw at him, it says he disappeared in the midst. He just escaped in the midst. You can't escape in the midst when people are going to take your head off with stones. It means he became invisible. And so he escaped that way. Was he afraid of them? No. It's just, he said what he had to say. You know, whatever he said was always pretty inflammatory. He wasn't afraid of them. And then he either walked away or disappeared. Where did he go when he disappeared? Just where you would go if you now became invisible. You'd be right where you are. But no one could touch you. The whole Pacific Ocean could flow over you and not touch you. Because there is no connection between matter and Spirit. You have no idea who's living invisibly right next to you, right around you, right where you walk. There's no connection between the two. This make-believe world will be here until it has served its purpose. For you, it will be here until it has developed you into a first-rate Spirit who can now function with infinity and eternity more directly than he can as an individual in a physical form. Now let's get used to the movement of spirit throughout infinity and eternity. It is said that it is like the wind. We do not know the source or the destination. And it comes when we know not. And the bridegroom comes for the bride when we know not, when ye think not. What are all these phrases doing in the Bible? They're saying something esoteric so that you will stop and look and discern that all around you in the invisible are the everlasting arms of the Father. If you get from my discussion that when you go to heal another person, you have the everlasting arms of the Father, infinity, eternity, at your beck and call. Provided you are not in a state of thought. Because instantly when you think, you draw the curtains, and once more you're living in a world where man is tricked by illusion, tricked by false boundaries, limited to his breathing apparatus, and you're back to being mortal. But the curtain can be pulled apart. It is said that the pure in heart will inherit the kingdom of God. The pure in heart are those who are willing to lay down their thought, ultimately to lay down their concept of life, which is their thought, and to let the Father guide them slowly at first and their guidance will be in the direction of spirit. Open their eyes. Show them a little bit of heaven. And then you'll come upon an individual with a problem, and he'll come to you, and you'll say to yourself, I don't really know how to solve this problem. You'll say that for a while. But then you'll say, too, that Christ knows how. I think I'll turn to the Christ. And I'll watch, I'll behold. How does Christ do it? Well, Christ lives in infinity and eternity. Christ has the freedom. He also uses a human brain as a stepping stone to get into his Christ brain, which you have to learn how to do. You're trying with a human brain. Of course, you're limited to human methods. And so maybe you would operate and this person would die, or maybe you would operate and this person would live, because human methods are fallible. Human methods are only temporary. Spirit is eternal. When your patient is healed by the Spirit, your patient is also going to live forever. Because Spirit does not work on a human level. If you decide to become an agent for the Spirit, you'll be making a wise decision. Instead of boasting about, I heal this one and I heal that one, because it won't last very long. Spirit doesn't want human healers. But you can be a great spiritual healer if you take the time to absorb certain lessons about the nature of Christ, the nature of divine power through Christ, and the absolute non-power of all human methods, because they are only power in the world of illusion. This clarifies to an extent how you bring Christ's power to work on a human being, but you need practice. You have to do 10 healings, 20 healings, 30 healings to get the feel of it, to see how you get out of the way and how you allow Christ to get in. The best way to practice is to try to do it in your own life, in your meditations, to invite Christ in by signing off, by slowly learning the art of dying to the flesh. I would like to experiment a little again. Dying to the flesh is not saying I won't do this, I won't do that. That's a negative way of doing things. Dying to the flesh is to make yourself available to the Christ. And let the Christ sit on the seat of your consciousness. Let the Christ be the voice that reaches your client or your patient. Although you may be talking, you're repeating what the Christ is telling you to say, what the Christ is instructing you to do. You are taking no thought, using no will, but you're a perfect instrument for the Christ. You're like a ditto machine. Christ says, this is what you do, and you find your hands doing it. This is what you say, you find your mouth speaking the words. It's so close that you don't even know if you're speaking the words. Christ may be, but something is controlling your work, and you feel the control. And you're grateful for the control, because you find yourself doing things you didn't know you could do. This is how close you live to the Christ, until Christ is your consciousness. Many an inventor has thought he has stumbled on the discovery that ultimately made him famous. But it was in a moment when he thought not. That ability to self-efface, to still the mind, to keep it alert while stilling it, to let it hover there until Christ comes through. We all know of cases like that in our own lives even, when we were lifted to heights that we could not believe. You wanted to tell somebody about it. Christ is teaching this class. Christ is saying these words. The Father is teaching his children the things he wants his children to know. Heal my son. Heal the world. Take man out of bondage. And in the process, liberate yourself from the belief that there is anything that can stand in your way. Anything that would stand in your way is a complete illusion. We all want to be famous and rich. Well, we are rich. We are rich in divine love. And you can't be any richer. The Father so loves the Son that the Father has forgiven every error that the image Son will ever perform. The Father has forgiven completely because the Father sees through the illusions. He sees the clear universe. St. Augustine was a rather nasty fellow at one time. I don't suppose anybody was lower than St. Augustine was, or appeared lower. He became aware of the Christ, practiced the Christ. His sins, quote, were washed white as snow. There's nothing anyone has done that is considered a sin by the Spirit. He is washed white as snow.